Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit.
What's good, Fatherhood? I'm your host, James Lopez, and welcome back to another episode of the Fatherhood is Lit podcast. I have been a dad for over 13 years now, and what I know now, I definitely didn't know back then. I want to reflect on that today. So today I brought on my homie, Adam Saeed, aka Lucid of Dead Life Studios, to talk about that new dad smell. What's good, Lucid?
What's up, man? How's everything? Thanks for having me.
Yo, good, man. Thank you. I'm honored to have you here. You know, you're one of my homies and somebody that, even though you're younger, man, I look up to you, bro. So thank you. Thank you for being out there.
Thanks, man. That means the world, bro.
Yeah, and I said that new dad smell because, you know, we fathers, bro. So we got to hit them with the corny dad jokes, bro. You know what I mean? We got to remind them that we're here.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite part of all of this, to be honest with you. Yeah. I got the arsenal going.
That's crazy, man. So Lucid, man, my DMs are on fire. On fire. And many of the DMs or questions that I get inside my Instagram or even emails comes from first-time dads. They ask me everything and anything, from what diapers to use to how to deal with co-parenting. But
okay,
I don't always have the answers. And I think that that's the scary part about fatherhood, but it's something that we overcome. So let's start with that, man. Did you have this magical blueprint that the people are looking for when it came to fatherhood, bro?
Nah, absolutely not, man. Absolutely not.
You couldn't find it? Like, you couldn't find it at Barnes & Noble or nothing like that, bro? Like, nobody was selling you a course?
Nah, I thought maybe it was like a scroll hidden deep in like a temple or something in South America, but nah, man. You know, it's crazy because, you know, during the pregnancy, everything is super open-ended. You feel like life gets so ambiguous out of nowhere. But, you know, it really comes down to like that one moment where everything clicks. And for me, it was in the delivery room once I was holding her.
So you're telling me that you kind of knew, like, all right, I'm a dad. First of all, before Khaleesi was born, did you think you knew it all, or were you even like searching for like some answers? Like, what was that feeling like?
I definitely didn't know it all. I'm sorry, what were you saying? What was that feeling of what?
Nah, like, what was that feeling of, like, I'm about to be a dad? Because I honestly, I can't remember, dogs. Like, it's been 13 years. Like, all I remember was, yo, my career is about to pop right now. I'm about to finish my master's, and I'm about to get married. Now you're throwing a kid in the mix, too. That's all I remember. I don't remember, like, thinking about how am I going to make this happen.
Yeah. That's kind of, you know, exactly what I was feeling. It almost felt like, all right, well, life is going this direction. And, you know, whether you're preparing for it or trying to make it happen, or if it's something that, you know, life is just blessing you with, it kind of gives you this feeling of uncertainty at first. That's what I remember more than anything, just this feeling of uncertainty and, wow, how am I going to make this happen? You know, I'm all for challenges and growing and becoming a better person, but there's a difference. Like, you know, you have a little life that you're responsible for. And at first it was a little scary and I didn't know what I was going to do. I just remember trying to soak things up, you know, like a sponge, trying to, you know, maybe search on the internet real quick, gather some opinions of like, you know, real fundamental stuff. But all of that, you know, it was nothing compared to like that one moment for me when she was born. And I held her in the delivery room, and it felt like an instinct kicked in.
It got real. Shit just got real.
Like, yeah, it got like, super no real. It went from, like, you know, I've never held a baby before to, like, instinctually knowing where to keep her head so she's comfortable and feeding her and changing diapers, even though I've never done it before. Like,
Time out, dogs. You serious? Like, you never, before that one time, you never held a baby?
No, nah, I was just always, like, not a newborn. And
you serious,
honestly,
bro?
not a baby. I swear, bro.
Wow, you know, sometimes we take things
held,
for granted, bro.
My niece.
Yeah, but okay. So you had
a held my niece,
but as she was bigger, not like as a newborn.
Now, as a newborn, but you know what it was? Like, I was a teenager then, and I just remember seeing her so small and being so intimidated. Yeah. And I kind of see that in a lot of my friends, too, especially when she was a newborn. And, like, I would tell my friends, oh, you want to hold her? They'd be, nah, I'm good, man. I'm kind of a little, you know, like, they're scared to hold a little baby. I remember that, you know, but when she's born and she's in front of you, all of that is out the window, man. It's like you could do it with your eyes closed.
Yeah, man, I think it's the same thing. I think, you know, as long as, like, if you're there for the birth, right, as long as you don't faint, which I don't think you fainted, bro. You didn't faint, right? Am I wrong, or you didn't drop during the delivery?
What, in the delivery room?
Yeah. You didn't drop.
No,
you
stood up. I can understand why someone would faint. It's crazy.
But it's like you said, like, once you see that head pop out, like, things change. Like, I had a whole new level of respect for my wife. But I also knew that now I couldn't play no more. Like, things were going to get serious quick. And like you said, like, instincts just took over, bro. Like, the doctor told me, you know, here's how you hold your kid. I already knew that because I had nieces and nephews. But because it's your child, it was still a little nerve wracking. You know what I mean? Where it's like, damn, what if they cough and I drop them? You know what I mean? So now you bring the baby home, right? And you just told me that even at that age or even older, your friends were still afraid to hold Khaleesi, right? To hold your daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, were you afraid that they might hurt her too? Or were you, like, super confident that they could do it?
My wife calls me a helicopter dad. So I'm definitely over their shoulders. Like,
so you were nervous.
I was definitely nervous. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
All right. Well,
and, just to circle back to, like, what you were saying about, like, being in the delivery room and having, like, a whole new level of respect for your wife. Well, like, I definitely feel that because my wife, she wasn't able to have an epidural or anything.
What? Oh, so she felt
that. Yes, bro. And this is, like, her first baby, like... You know, she's tiny. You've seen her, bro. And we were in labor for like 2 days, bro.
Oh my goodness, that's painful. A minute. So that first week, man, she was happy, but she probably hated you that first week, bro. And she was probably like, man, this dude don't got to deal with this.
it was like a movie, man. Even the dialogue between like her and the nurses and like, oh my god, it was crazy. I'm not gonna lie, that was probably one of the most eventful couple days of my life. And it's just like nature just blows right through, like, when you that sight of, you know, watching your child be born, it's very different than anything I've ever seen before, because it's just straight nature, you know. I don't know what the best way to put it.
It's unexplainable, bro. It's unexplainable.
Yeah, we're caught up in this world of what we built and, you know, like, these man-made structures and concepts all around us. And then you're just in a room with nature for a minute. And it's pretty real, you know?
Yeah, and nothing else matters.
That's the best way I can articulate it. Yeah, nothing else matters, 100%.
Like, you locked in that room. Like, I remember before my first child, my mom was like, oh, take pictures. And I got in there, but I wasn't thinking about pitches. Like, I didn't care about that. It was like, this is eye-opening, bro. Like, this is something crazy happening right now.
It was beautiful.
Do you remember the night before?
The night before
she
water
was born?
Broke?
Yeah, before the whole hospital stuff started. Like, before, yo, I'm having contractions, this might be it.
Yeah, she went to go visit her mom, Dukes. And I remember... I was up early and she was still asleep. And then around maybe 11:30, I get a call. She says, oh, my water broke. So, you know, me and Uncle Paulie, we hit the V. We drove down, met them at the hospital.
That's insane, man. Like, I think for us, my story was a little crazy. Like, I actually called in to work the day before my son was born. And I used my son as an excuse. I told him, yo, my wife is having contractions. I think I'm gonna stay home. She might give birth.
Wow.
I was being lazy. I just wanted to stay home. You know what I mean?
It
got real. Then the next morning, I wake up to go to work, and guess what happens? She's having contractions. And I called into work, took off, went to the hospital. That's it, bro. Life was different after that. Like, everything completely just changed, man. It just changed. It's crazy because you say you hopped in the car and you went with your boy. So how did it feel telling your boy, yo, I'm going in there to have a child, bro? Like, back up out of here. You're going to have to go home, Paul.
It was like the longest 10-minute car ride ever, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so, it was like, you know, a million different things are playing in your head, you know, and you got this feeling of, all right, let me just get there. Let's get through this. And, it's like this overwhelming joy slash anxiety, you know, on the way to the hospital. And yeah, it's like this huge buildup, bro. It's this huge buildup. And then once it's all over, once they come out, you got this deep breath, you know?
Yeah. So now, all right, cool. Knowing the things that you know now, right? There's dads out there that for whatever reasons they have, they might say, I'm cool with missing the birth of my child. Like, I'm going to be there at all times. But that day, if I got to be at work, so be it. I'm at work. What would you say to a father about that experience to persuade them not to miss it?
You know, I just think it's one of those things where nothing else matters, really, you know? I understand some people, they're, you know, like a victim of circumstance and, you know, they might have to work and, you know, it's not really their fault. It's out of their power. But I don't think that's a good attitude towards, you know, fatherhood in general. It's just like, oh, well, like, I'm gonna miss this one, even though I could be there if I really wanted to. You know, I don't really think that's
it's not a good look.
A good look going into it. You know, that's not necessarily the job description. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Now, when
I think it's very important.
I think it's one of those things that, like you just said earlier, like it's one of those experiences that you might only have once.
Right.
And you can't just like replicate it. You know what I mean? Like if wifey has a video of her giving birth, you can't Photoshop yourself into that video. They might be able to manipulate it, but it's still
watching the video is like practical. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you're not going to get that same feeling
at all
you would get if you were there. You know, I can't really explain it. It's almost like going to a concert. Like, doesn't anybody want to watch a video of a concert?
Yeah, it's true.
It's not the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's true. So now that first week, you know, they when the child is first born, when I had my first child, they didn't let us. They didn't let me as the father stay overnight. For my third child, they actually said, "Yo, you could get like a private room, and you could stay." And I chose not to. How was it for you after she gave birth? Like, were you able to stay at the hospital?
No, I wasn't allowed to stay at the hospital. I had to leave and come back.
Mm-hmm.
I remember they didn't want me to stay with her overnight, even before she delivered the baby. But I told them, like, nah, I'm sleeping in this chair.
Yeah.
You're going to have to chill. Let me do what I'm doing, you know? Mm-hmm. And when my daughter was born, she had to go to the ICU temporarily. Mm-hmm. She had, they wanted to check on, like, her respiratory system.
Mm-hmm.
Everything ended up fine, but I also remember that being terrifying as well.
Yeah, how scary was that, bro?
The idea, like, oh, man. It was scary, you know, like, I believe, like, they called it, like, the newborn intensive care unit, and just that idea alone, that concept was, like, horrifying, you know what I mean? So I had to wait patiently and, you know, just stay positive through the anxiety that everything would be okay. I didn't necessarily understand why I couldn't see her, and that was probably, like, the scariest thing for me. But it was really just, you know, all procedure, just making sure she was okay, which, you know, I'm thankful for.
Because, yeah.
You know, hospitals sometimes, they're not super pleasant, you know? So, like, any little peace of mind you could get while you're going through an experience like that, it goes a long way, you know? But I just think, like, going into being a new father, like, staying strong, staying positive, keeping your head, I just think, in general, in fatherhood, that's just traits that are important to have, you know, to be patient, positive. And, you know, one of my homies actually asked me the other day, like, what's it like, man? Like, were you scared? How did you do it? And yeah, I was scared, you know. What's it like? Oh, bro, it's beautiful. You really underestimate how beautiful it is and how much you enjoy it. And I told him, like, listen, man, instinct. That's probably my biggest takeaway. I feel like things just started clicking for me. And it's not that I did things perfectly at all. Definitely not. You know, as a new father, I think one of my biggest challenges is finding that perfect balance between providing and also being present.
So you mean like, you know, like working, mean? Like having like that work balance, that work-life
exactly.
balance?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that that's a question I get often. I actually just got this last week from a dad that isn't even a dad yet, or is a dad, but the child hasn't been born. And he asked me the same thing, like, how do you balance work and life? And it's one of those things that it's like, you know what? I'll let you answer that, because I'll give you what my answer, but I don't want to cloud your answer here. Like, how do you achieve it, man? Because you don't work, like, you're not a real 9-to-5er like that. Like, you own a business too.
Nah, yeah, right.
So how do you balance that? Like, how do you balance it now compared to how you were balancing it the first 2 weeks of your child being born?
The first 2 weeks, I was like all hands on deck, everything could wait. And then I got into like this build mode, you know, let me make sure she has everything she needs. Let me make sure the wife is comfortable, that she's going to be provided for. And then, you know, before you know it, of course, you got to get back to the grind, get back to your original daily routine, except it's not your original daily routine anymore. It's much different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, what I try to do, I feel like, considering that I don't have that regular 9-to-5, and I was lucky enough to be able to build a situation where I could generate income at home, I think that helps, you know, that even when I'm not there, I'm not very far away. I'm right downstairs, you know. Yeah. So if my wife needs a hand with something, or, you know, she needs, a break for 10 minutes, it's really not that big of a deal. Where if I was in a totally different location and then I have to come home and, you know, so it's, I'm very lucky that I have this layout, you know, the way that I have it. But I think just being able to adapt to things is also important, because, you know, everybody's situation is different. Every child is different. So being able to adapt and do whatever has to be done, I feel like, is the most important duty for a father. You know, just making sure that the daughter or the son or the wife or the family, you know, they just get everything that they need. And of course, you know, being there, like creating those little moments, just like what you said, with seeing your child being born. That's just the first moment of many that are irreplaceable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So
it's definitely true.
Yeah. So I just think that it's important to create these moments to spend time, you know. And, you know, it's not like it's impossible. You know what I mean?
I don't think it's impossible.
Finding that balance.
No. I don't think it's impossible. I think, you know, this is what I told him through DMs. You know, for the people that don't know, you know, you can ask me questions through the DMs, and usually I jump in there and I try to help people out. But what I told him was that what helped me with my family life work balance was actually my kids. Like, when I was younger, when I was 26 with my firstborn, I was going out every other weekend. Like, that was still me. That was still, yo, I want to hit up a club with my friends. I want to hit up a bar, whatever. I want to chill with my friends. After about a year of doing that, of trying to like balance that out, I realized that I wanted to give him more time. And I couldn't do that by coming home at like 3 a.m. and then sleep until noon.
Mm-hmm.
So I started finding the balance because I wanted to give him more of my time. By me doing that, I learned what was my priorities. And now it's easier for me to say, well, you know, your company A, you need me for 20 hours. My son is graduating today. I'm sorry, man. Your money sounds good, but I got to go do that. And to somebody else, they'll be like, dawgs, are you crazy? You giving up that cash? And it's like, dawgs, I'm good. I need the cash, but I need this moment with him a little bit more, and that's my priority. That doesn't happen every single time, but it will happen. Right. You know what I mean? Like, there are times when you don't take the cash over the child because it's not, to you, it seems like it's not a big deal that day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's how I find balance. You know, if you let your kids, your love for your kids will dictate that balance, bro. If you really, really want to be there, if you really, really want to spend time, you'll find a way to make it. And it leads me back to you and your business. I remember when we were actually recording the intro to this podcast. For people that don't know, Lucid actually hooked me up with the intro. we would sit there recording, and you would have your daughter on the child monitor.
Yes.
And I think that's a testament to you finding a way how to balance it.
Right. That's actually like a super, super practical tool that I would recommend for anybody coming into
the monitor.
Being a parent, dog, it's crazy. It's very helpful because it's almost like it lets you be in two places at once, and you can invest in a really good one that, you know, it goes the extra mile and it's got motion detection and it records clips and it tells you the humidity in your nursery and all of this. But, you know, just being able to keep an eye on them, it again provides you that feeling of, you know, relief that you could just focus on, you know, the task at hand. And I guess, yeah, that's probably one of the ways that I balance it. Mm-hmm. You know, even if I have like sessions going on at night and I'm down here, I watch the baby sleep on the monitor. If she moves, if she cries, I can hear it. And then I'm upstairs in 2 seconds, boom. You know, put it back to bed.
That's the helicopter parent, though. I wanted to touch upon that. I wanted to touch upon that. Yeah. How long? I know that first week, the first couple of weeks you had that monitor, I know you were speeding up those stairs. How long did it take you? How long did it take for you to say, "All right, it's okay for my daughter to cry for a couple minutes"? Because that took me a while to understand, bro. It took me a couple months to actually say, "All right, he's crying. He ain't gonna die, man. We good."
yeah. You kind of feel like you're not doing your job if they're crying. But
yeah. How long did it take you? Or are you still running
that real quick?
Or are you still speeding, bro? Are you still speeding up those stairs?
You know what it is, bro. I started beeping, and she would blame me. Like, she would start fake crying to get me to come, and then when she saw me, she would start laughing. Like, "Ah, I got you." So once that started happening, I was like, "Oh, nah," you know. I'm going to have to put the foot down a little bit. Even now, sometimes, like at night, she's finally getting used to sleeping by herself, you know, in her room, not in my bed, not in her bed, in my room, like her own room in her little bed.
Yeah.
She's getting used to sleeping there. So even sometimes now, maybe like last week, she started crying at like 3 a.m. and I was about to run up the stairs. But something told me, like, "You know what, man, chill. Let's see how this plays out." And you know, 5 minutes later, bro, she rolled over and she was snoring. So
they are some slick kids, man. Like, that's,
yo, they're players.
They do it really, really well, man. Like, and then you have a daughter, so I'm gonna assume that fathers with daughters are like tugged at the heart a little bit more. So that little screech, that little whine is like, "Oh man, like I gotta be there." That's funny. So now that your daughter's older, right? Do you look at your friends like, how do you look at your friends when they're playing with her? Like, is it mind boggling, bro? Because I don't know. Like, now I see my kids and like I see my oldest, and I don't get surprised at how he plays with his friends. I get more surprised that he's almost my height. Where it's like the growth is more surprising than the activities. You know what I mean?
Right.
So how does it feel like now that she's so small? How does it feel seeing her playing with like a Paul, one of your friends?
Yeah, it's awesome, bro. Especially you know, Paul, he has a lot of nephews, so he's always been like super good with kids. Mm-hmm. And it's cool to see, like, you know, she'll be crying, he'll pull up on her, he'll calm her down. You know, it's always cool to see how they interact, how they you know, that they got that super love for them, you know, because they're almost on that uncle type of time. And it's cool, man. For me, it's just like this sense of a big family. And I appreciate that because, you know, it really does take a village, bro. It takes a village. And I'm super grateful that I do have my friends and my wife, that they're here for me. And I feel like we do it all together. You know, it would definitely be 1,000 times harder if I didn't have my good friends who are always there. If we ever need anything, you know? So that's probably the best part of it for me, seeing everybody come together and the community that forms around this little life. That's probably my favorite part for sure.
Well, as a dad of three now, I'm going to say that there's a point when that village oversteps. Right.
Really?
So, okay. so what I'm saying by that is that sometimes we're given advice that we're not asking for. Have you started dealing with that already? And how have you dealt with it? Like, there's always that one person that tells you, oh, yeah, you should hold the baby this way. And you're like, dogs, this is my kid. Mm-hmm. I've been with the baby for a year now. You have zero kids.
Right.
Like, chill. Like, how have you been handling that advice coming when you need it and when it's not there, or when it's coming when you don't need it?
You know, to be truthful, I feel like with this new dad smell I got, I haven't really encountered that, you know, to be totally honest. But just hearing the scenario, it would definitely bug me a ton. But I also do feel like it would be one of those things I kind of just turn a deaf ear to.
Yeah.
And just be like, oh, all right, what do you, you know what I mean? Like, all right.
But what about your parents?
Yeah.
Like, what about your parents and your in-laws? Like, your in-law ever tell you something that you look at her and be like, yo, chill. Don't incriminate yourself.
No, I wouldn't. But I'm not going to lie.
I don't want you to get beat up.
I don't think I've encountered that yet, but I could definitely see it happen maybe with some aunties or uncles of the sort.
Yo, you a lucky dude, bro.
Yeah, I am, bro. I really am. I'm super lucky. I'm super grateful. And I try to, you know, give thanks, show appreciation every day, you know, because life is delicate, bro, as we've learned this year. Life and love, all of that is like a little teapot, you know, and you could drop it on accident and shit is shattered, you know. So I try to just keep it stoic day by day, you know, be appreciative. And yeah, man, it's been working for me, bro. It's a miracle raising this little one. And, you know, I'm sure I've made some mistakes. I will make more, but I feel really good about it. And it's easily the favorite, the best part of my day, you know?
Yeah.
When she wakes up, seeing that smile. So, yeah, man, I love it, bro. All
right, so. And
I don't think I've encountered that yet as far as, like, you know.
It's coming.
In-laws or auntie or uncle. Yeah, I'm sure it's coming. Do you have any advice on how you would deal with that for the other new dads?
I'm an asshole, right? Like,
you throw uppercuts.
I just ignore the good side of me, bro. Like, the growth in me, because that's the next thing I'm gonna ask you about growth.
Mm-hmm.
But the growth in me allows me to look at my mother-in-law and family members, and I'm able to just ignore them. The young version of me, the first father version, I was mean, bro. Like, I would straight up tell him, leave me the hell alone or shut up or something. Like, it was just, I was coming from a different world.
You know,
I was coming from, like, from the streets, from the hood of the Bronx, where if you were a stranger, you weren't allowed to talk to me certain ways that family members think they could talk to you.
Right.
Like that confidence. So it was difficult for me in the beginning. Like, I wouldn't take advice really well. And then I started learning that it was that they were just trying to help. Now I just ignore
that's
them.
What I was going to ask you. Like, do you feel like it was good intentions, or maybe they were trying to be nasty on purpose?
It was good intentions, but with some negativity involved, because people
which, that I don't blame you.
Yeah. Cause the family that I had, that I married into, they were completely different than the family that I was born into. Right. So the experiences were completely different. So the family that I was married into was able to look at me and say, there's certain things that we hold true to our family values that we don't know if you've been exposed to those.
Mm.
And what I would come back with, the rebuttal would be, just because I lived in the hood didn't mean we didn't have those same family values.
Right.
So it was always that constant tug and pull, where it was like, you guys are telling me this for the right reasons, but I'm telling you, leave me alone. Because I noticed that we already have that in my family too. So it's, you know, it's hard for adults to, I'm an older dude now. As a 40-year-old, I understand that it's hard for a 40-year-old to speak to a 25-year-old about fatherhood and try to persuade them on what they think is right, because we have the experience. Just because we have the experience doesn't mean it's necessarily correct. And that side of the family couldn't get that part. You know what I mean? Where it was like, yo, let James experience this himself. He wants to figure it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's what it's all about, right? All of this really is all about experiencing it and figuring it out. You know, nobody's path is the same. Nobody's going to be able to figure it out for you. And that's probably what was scariest about me. You know, I'm so used to Googling everything and there's a black and white process on how to do something. But nah, this was different. This was like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So let's switch it back to the growth side, man. Like, let's switch it to growth. You were a younger dad. What age did you have your child?
I was 22.
22. All right.
I was 21.
21. All right. I was 26. It doesn't sound like a big difference, but it's a big difference, right? How did your life change from having the child at the first day to now? Like, how did it change your business? How did it change who you are? Because I interviewed a guy named Dude Dad, right? His name is Taylor Calmus. And his initiative is about showing the world that he's still Taylor. He's still a dude. Even though he's doing a whole bunch of things with his kids, he's still that dude dad. He is Taylor. But he also grew with it. So how did that affect you? Like, how did that growth of your child affect your growth? Like, are you still lucid, bro?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just lucid isn't for the world anymore.
What does that mean?
Like, when I first, you know, created this, you know, it's kind of like akin to wrestling. You ever watch wrestling?
Yeah, of course. Not often, like not new, not the new stuff, but you know, I came from the old school Hulk Hogan stuff.
Yeah, we don't do the new stuff. No shots. If you take a look at Hulk Hogan's a perfect example. Look at all the times he's reinvented himself from, you know, the regular baldy Hulk Hogan to pulling up with the red and the yellow and then NWO and then Hollywood Hulk Hogan. But it's all same Hulk Hogan, right? It's just, you know, the display for the world, it changes. So I feel like when I had my daughter, yeah, I was still lucid, 1,000%. But I feel like I didn't want to give that same lucid to the world. I just wanted to tuck that in. And I wanted to create this new, improved image of myself, you know, with all this wisdom and experience that I've gained over the last couple of years. And I wanted to package that into, like, my new Hollywood Hulk Hogan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you could look at it like that, that's probably, like, a cool analogy I could give. My business, it went from like a side income project to a super expedited, this needs to happen now project.
Shit got real.
And yeah, I believe that having my daughter and creating that sense of uncertainty and that new sense of need, it rejuvenated my actions and my ability to grow my business. And it almost moved the fog out of my eyes so that I was able to look at things more objectively and create results. Mm-hmm. And that was probably how things changed the most when my daughter was born. And it was a blessing for me. You know, it was exactly what I needed to be able to take it from here and bring it there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since then, the studio has grown a whole lot. You know, we've been at capacity often. There's usually like a week waiting list to get in. My guy M2 has been going crazy. So everything is just happening as it should. It's like
priorities.
One path just falling into place. Yeah, 1,000%, man.
It's like your priorities get clearer. It's almost like to paraphrase what you're saying, it's almost like I'm learning. Like, I'm learning on the fly, just like entrepreneurship, right? I'm learning on the fly.
Right.
But my priorities are getting clearer because of the legacy I want to leave. But I also want that time with my child, too.
Right. And I knew that I didn't want to drop everything with the music just because people around me were telling me that it wasn't viable. And now I need to do this because I have a daughter. That's actually probably the only thing that I encountered. Like, going back to what we were saying about maybe somebody overstepping with their opinion.
Yeah.
People were telling me like, oh, you got to stop messing with this music situation, man. Like, you have a daughter now, like playtime is over. It was super hard for me to hear that, but it also added the drive, and you know, reinvigorated me, and it gave me that confidence I needed to show them and say, look, this is viable. You know, this is real. This is something that could happen here. And it went from, oh, I just need time, to I don't have any time, you know, and things started growing from there, to be honest. No, I think with any entrepreneur, it doesn't have to be a kid. It's just, you know, having a circumstance or a situation that brings that additional do or die energy. I think that's what creates a lot of success for a lot of people. It doesn't have to be a kid. It's just that urgency. You know, that's, I feel like that's sometimes what separates us.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
that's what separated me.
I agree. Like, I think I took life more serious the minute my child was born. Right. But it still took a couple years of my child being born to understand that I wanted to get a little bit more uncomfortable. Right. Like, I wanted to go chase a bigger dream. And the bigger dream was for me. The bigger dream was for me. It wasn't for, at first, it wasn't for my wife. It wasn't for my kids. You know how people always tell you, yo, I want to build a business because I want to leave a legacy for my kids. Yo, bullshit. I didn't do that. I did it because I wanted it for me. I wanted to test me. The minute my kids started growing,
there's nothing wrong with that.
The minute my son started growing and I started getting more serious with life and taking my priorities a little bit more seriously, then the legacy changed to, oh shit, I want to leave a legacy for my kids. Because they're the ones watching right now. That's not the way it started, but that's the way it's going to end. You know what I mean? Where now the legacy is for them. Now the priorities are different.
Right.
Now the naysayers, you asked me about the naysayers. That's why the naysayers could go to hell. Like, you hear me when I jump on a TV show or something, I tell them straight up, like, I don't care about them. Because ultimately, our kids are our kids. We raise them our way. We gotta suffer with the consequences of not doing it correctly. Not somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they can't bash us.
It's not
going to
be whoever gave you that advice. It's not going to be whoever's bad advice, you know, that they're going to take the blame for whatever happens. You know, we got to be able to make our own decisions and, you know, do the right thing always.
Yo,
it's
and
crazy. It's tricky.
And the trying dad is a great dad, bro. Like, how many times do we get knocked around in society because fathers don't show up? So now they show up and they don't know anything? They show up now and they don't know everything and they get knocked down for that too? Nah, man, a trying dad is a great dad, bro. That's it. Like, we good. You know what I mean? We good. So really quickly, last couple questions. You into music. You started your studio. You rap. You make beats. You do it all, bro. Like, I call you a legend already in the making. You know what I mean? Like, you're there. And I know I harass you all the time about it. I really want to know, bro. Do you let Khaleesi listen to the music that you're producing? Or are you giving her kids bobs? Or are you censoring the music? I want to know how you handle. No. How did you handle WAP with your daughter?
That's funny. That's a, you know. Oh man, that's crazy.
Yo, I'm laughing because I haven't spoken to about that song with my son yet. And it just reminded me, damn, I gotta do it.
We don't play that in my house.
Nah, we play it. We play it, but it's a different. It's different now. So what are you doing? Are you listening? Are you gonna let her listen to the censored version of WAP, or are you gonna give her the Kidz Bop version? What's going down, bro?
Nah, she's gonna have the vinyl with the parental advisory sticker, and I'm gonna tell you why. Right.
Hook it up.
I'm gonna tell you why. When I was a kid, I fell in love with rap music, and the first song I remember hearing is Mighty D Block from The Lox.
Of course, classic.
So I was probably 4 years old. I think that came out in 01. I was 4 years old, and that's like as violent gets when it comes to rap music. You know what I'm saying? My mom, she peeped that I loved the song and I knew the words, and I could tell she was a little offset by it, but she had already had my older brother at that point, and she kind of sheltered him with the music situation during his upbringing. So by the time I was little and going through it, he was already adolescent teenager, and he's raising all hell like Stone Cold Steve Austin, right? So she's thinking maybe the correlation is I was trying to shelter him, and as soon as he hit that age, he exploded.
He rebelled.
So
yeah.
I believe her thought process was, let me not do this with him. Let me show him what's right and what's wrong. I'm going to explain to him things if he asks me questions. Like, I would hear things in songs that, you know, a child probably shouldn't know about. And I would, hey, mommy, what does this mean? And she would tell me. She never lied. Mm-hmm. And as I got older and as I started becoming a man, going through high school, and I'm surrounded by crime, gangs, drugs, you know, dealing, everything like that, I stayed away from it.
Because you, like, you already, it's almost like you were already exposed to
the reality.
Yeah, you were exposed to it.
Yeah, like, right. I'm listening to Jay. I'm listening to 50. I'm listening to The Game. I'm listening to all these artists. And people take it almost like they're bragging about where they come from and the things they did. But I never looked at it like that. I never thought it was cool. I saw it like, this is real life. And they're just giving their testimony on it. It was really Jay, especially, too, that provided me with that perspective, you know? Because I saw what he was doing with music, and I saw where it was going. And I realized that a lot of it is theatrics. Like, I peeped early that the entertainment industry is not very transparent. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's music or movies or television. I think I was able to dissect reality due to the music. Like, I was able to see how the world really was because I wasn't sheltered. And I think I'm gonna, you know, duplicate that as well. I was never tempted to do wrong. I was never, oh yeah, this is cool, you know, this is what I was like, this is dumb. This is going to get me killed. You know what I'm saying? I think I could keep this in the headphones. And that was it, bro. It didn't make me less of a cultured individual. It didn't make me less of a person who lived through it and witnessed things. It didn't. I just made better decisions by listening to others make bad decisions, if you really look at it.
I mean, that's it, though. That's there's never a correct answer, right? When it comes to to censorship and what we're going to let them listen to or whatever. But I have to agree with you 1,000% where it's like you were exposed to it and then you explained too about that exposure, right? Like with me growing up with my dad, like my audience knows that my dad didn't shelter anything. Like I saw people shooting up crack. You know what I mean? Like I saw that on a daily basis. And it wasn't that I was walking through the neighborhood and saw it. No, it was my dad telling me, yo, stand right here and check out what homeboy's going to do. And then see what happens after. And I would see it's scary, man. Like I would see the effects. And then I would see what the neighborhood cats would do to somebody that's high like that. And it was like, wait a minute, this person's high. And they're picking on him and doing some random shit to him, sending him to steal from people. Yo, I don't want that life. I don't want that. And it was all due to my father showing it to me and then explaining. That's part of growth. And if we're not there, if we're not there making our presence felt with the growth factor of educating them, then what's the point? Like sheltering them isn't the best thing possible. You know what I mean?
1,000%. I don't think... I don't really feel like I've ever seen it work out. Yeah, I feel like it's normal because you feel like it's like that instinct as a parent. Mm-hmm. But it's just not the nature of the world. You know what I'm saying?
Nah,
video games, bro. You know me. I love my video games. I'm not a violent individual. I don't have a hankering for weapons. You know what I'm saying, bro? It's like fantasy and reality. And I feel like the easier you, the quicker you learn to distinguish between the two, the better off you are.
Yep, that's a fact, man. That's a fact, and it all starts with exposure, man. It all starts with exposure. So what? You know, we're gonna wrap this up, man. I don't want to keep you too much longer. You know, I know the monitor might be going off soon. how can people find you, man? Like, if they want to work with you and you know take their music to the next level, which I highly suggest people do. What's the best way they can reach you?
You can find me on Instagram at Dante Genesis with an underscore at the end. I also have my studio's Instagram page up. It's Dead Life Studios. So you guys could, you know, hit me up, you let me know that you heard me on this show. You know what I'm saying? We'll work something out.
We'll take that yeah, homeboy yeah. hookup. You know what I mean? The homeboy hookup. Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
we do it all over here,
and they do it well. Like I have to commend you. Like I'm somebody that likes to talk and pick things apart. When you had me standing on a mic to do the introduction, I was nervous as hell, and you made it easy for me to do. And when I thought it was perfect, you pushed me to do it again.
Yep.
Totally out of my comfort
level. I think that's good. I'm like, nah. One more.
Yeah, yeah. I felt like I was getting bullied, but in a good way. And it came out really well. So thank you, man. I think that's what the industry is lacking. You know what I mean? People that'll keep it real and not just do it for the money. You know what I mean?
For sure, man. And I think it's because, you know, I'm an artist myself. My partners were all artists. So we experience that. And we know it's whack. We know it's whack. We know that artists are easily taken advantage of. It's like you can't even earn your colors anymore without getting scammed like two or three times. So we're just trying to change the climate of things, you know?
Yeah,
good business. We want to see people do better.
Good business is the only way to go, man. So Lucid, man, thank you so much, man. Thank you for your time.
No problem, man. Yo, guys, check out my songs on Apple Music or Spotify. I'm sure you'll love them.
That's right. I love them. I'll put them in the show notes too, man, because I'm always rocking them. You can see them in the stories and IG all the time. And of course, like my intro, man. My intro, it wouldn't have been possible without Lucid. For real. I was just going to go with a beat and James. That's it.
So shout out to my guy Tubin. Tubin's on the beat.
Yes, sir. To the community, blueprints don't exist. What does exist is our determination to be great dads. Every day is a different day full of lessons and ups and downs, but your presence matters and will help you pull through. Thanks to Lucid for proving that. Now go make your presence felt no matter what dad level you are on. Fatherhood is lit.